Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your presence. We thank you for the power and the truth of your word. We invite your precious Holy Spirit here to move as he desires. Lord, open heaven. Let our hearts be receptive. Let our ears not only receive it, but let our hearts receive understanding so that we can be changed in a mighty way, in a better way, in a powerful way. I thank you according to your word that you know the plans that you have for us. So I speak into the lives of your people today, those who are here, those who are in the portico, those in the parking lot, those who are watching online, and I speak into their life according to alignment with your word, and we decree that their future is brighter than their past. I thank you, Father, for the sacrifice that Jesus, you have paid for us, our spiritual freedom. I thank you for victory in every area of our lives. And I thank you, Father God, that let not one person settle with any tactic of the enemy to be tolerated in their life as we rise up and receive and claim what rightfully belongs to us. And we give you praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen. I want to go a different direction. We just finished up a series last week. And before I do that, I'm excited. In a couple weeks, we have a lot of stuff going on this summer. At Hope Church, we kind of take it up to the next level. We don't go in pause or rest mode or vacation. I figure if people are going to die and go to hell during the summer, we need to still stay on the wall. Can I get an amen? So there's a lot of stuff happening. Next week is communion. We got special products coming out for the first time. Also, Jonathan is going to be with us in a few weeks. Amen. Now, if you noticed that video, he was wanting to try something different, and I like trying new ideas because you see if they work or don't work, and if they work, we keep doing them. If they don't work, we stop. Well, you never do them again, and if they work after a while, we'll stop doing it just to find the next thing. Amen. But we're going to have him Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night, so it starts on a Friday, not on a Sunday. So all I can tell you is the people who show up on a Friday night the first night are going to be the ones who are so hungry, you're going to get blessed. I'm just guarantee you, this is going to be, if you've never been in a service with Jonathan Shuttlesworth, it's one of those things. You're going to cry, you're going to laugh, you might be shocked sometimes, but you're going to be inspired, but you will hear the word of God. You know what I mean? Just with the purity, but also he is still working on being politically correct, and we don't want him to be politically correct. I mean, he says it in his raw right in your face, and you have to say, oh me, oh my, or help me, Jesus. But you're going to get the word of God. Amen? Powerful ministry has just continued to explode, and it's an honor to have him, and it's an honor to call him my friend. So that's coming up. We have also, we got Father's Day coming up. We're going to do something special for Father's Day. We've got the, we've rented the whole Aquaport Water Park just so you can have a family day. We've got a water baptism this summer. We have grad day. We're going to celebrate grads and give them something special. We have baby dedication this summer. We have a lot of stuff going on. It is jam-packed. So do not miss out. Amen. Grab your Bibles, if you would, to Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. I want to just read a little bit today, and we'll study God's word. There's different ways of doing it. As we do series or single messages, a lot of times it's on topic. Today, we're just going to read a little bit, and I'm going to pull from the verses at hand. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9 and 11 is where I want to key in on. And I encourage you, and we share this, if you're a baby Christian, one of the first places you want to start reading, because it's important to read your Bible. A lot of people think, oh, where do I start? They start in Genesis. Don't start in Genesis. I jokingly say this, and I learned it from my own experience when I was young and I got saved. And I remember being so excited. I was going to read the whole Bible. I was going to start at the beginning and read through the whole thing because that's what I heard. You got to read through the Bible. And it's good to read through the Bible. Everybody should have at least read through the Bible once in their life. But I remember as a young man, I mean, probably about 9, 10 years old, trying to read. And by the time I got to the begats, I was gone. So that's what we're joking. But if you read it from the beginning, by the time you get to the begats, you'll be gone because it's all the names that no one names their kids anymore, and you wonder what that's about. So the best way, the most practical way I encourage people to study is if your first time reading the Bible, start in the Gospel of John. Read about the life of Jesus. Read about his ministry. Read in that context. And then after that, you can go on to Acts. But then I would strongly encourage you to move into the letters to the churches. specifically the epistles. So Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians, Philippians, those are letters to the churches. It's a great way to find out. And in those books, you're going to find out what freedoms and victories that you as the church has. Amen. And then after that, you can go into James. James is a book of wisdom, just like Proverbs is. It's a great book. But to me, I've always loved Ephesians. It's one of my favorite books, personally. And so I want to look at that today. So with all that said, verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. First of all, let me just throw this at you. God has a will. Yes. You have a will.
Yes.
Okay? And when it comes to a crossroad, your will is not greater or more important than God's will. Can I get an amen? It's learning to live the Christian life, and most people come to the mindset when Jesus referred to picking up your cross and following me, that he meant that you need to suffer and live a life of unhappiness. That's not what Jesus is talking about. What is Jesus referring to when he talks about picking up your cross daily and following me? It's learning to follow the will of God, even if it comes into conflict with your own will. Can I get an amen? So when you want to cuss somebody out, but the Lord tells you to forgive them, which one do you do? When God tells you to do something and it's in conflict with your natural desires, that's the crossroad of choosing the will of the Father. Jesus said it when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, right before the cross. And he said, Father, if there be any other way, remove this cup from me. He was going to the cross. Remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. So it's choosing as a priority the will of God more than your own will. But the will of God is also, as you see through there, there's a mystery to it. There's a mystery to the will of God. A lot of people, and the Corinthians tells us why, that the spiritual, you have to be spiritual to discern the mystery of God's will. Because the natural mind, the carnal flesh, of the carnal side of us, will not comprehend what God is doing in the will of God. It will come up with answers, and we've all been there. When someone begins to tell us why something happened, and they reverse engineer it to fit their doctrine, to fit some mindset or belief system. Oh, that child died because God needed another angel. Nope.
Right.
That is not the will of God.
Right.
That is not the plan of God.
Right.
It's getting quiet because you've talked to the same person, I bet. No, there's many people that will say stuff like that. Oh, God gave, he, you know what I mean? He put that cancer on you. That's why you got a disease, because God's putting on it to give you glory. Nope, that's not the will of God. Now, that's what the devil will try to tell people. But if you don't understand the will of God, then you don't know how to follow the will of God. You don't know how to fight for the will of God. Because the enemy, John 10:10, has come to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life more abundantly. So understanding the will of God is so important because just to please God, he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, which means I'm seeking after what God wants.
Yes.
Can you imagine someone tell you, oh, I love you, you are so important to me, but they did everything the complete opposite of what you wanted?
Right.
What do you want to have for dinner? You know, steak sounds good. Okay, we're not going to have steak. Where do you want to go? Let's go over here. We'll go the opposite.
Right.
Eventually, you would get the idea of this person, not only they're telling me they love me, but I think they just don't like me at all. Because everything I want to do, they do the opposite.
Right.
Well, if you know somebody and you love somebody, you figure out their nature, character, and what they like. So that when we get really good men, then we can know what our wives want before they ask for it. I don't know. I'm preaching to myself now, so I work on that. I've been in the same boat. I've had those conversations with my wife, and I say, listen, guys are really simple. We really don't have a lot of things going on in our brain. If you want something, you tell me, and I'll make sure it happens. And all the men said, that's it. And wives, when you look at your husband, and you say, what are you thinking about? And they say, nothing. Yeah, we can do that. We can do that. We can do that. That is a real thing. Not for you, but for us. It's a real thing. You know what I mean? We're like, oh, okay, we'll leave that alone. So anyway, having known the mystery of his will. God's will, and the reason there's so much confusion many times on the will of God is because people are trying to approach it from a natural thing and maybe a religious thing and not from a truth perspective thing of what the Bible says. Because it's wrapped up in a mystery. Now, it's not a mystery to God, but it's a mystery to the natural person who just casually looks at it. That's why I reiterate some points over and over again, because I think it's important for us to realize that if you're a casual Christian, if you approach the presence of God, the Word of God, anything you approach casually, flippantly, you will never get what is available to you in it. Right. If you treat your marriage flippantly and casually, you will not have a great marriage. Right. If you treat your money casually, they're all important, but the greatest priority is your relationship with Jesus.
Amen.
And you gotta make sure, because important things wanna be a priority. It's a natural nature, but you got to learn to bring them back in perspective and saying you're important, but you also have to be managed because you can't be number one. But how many times have we approached reading the Bible or going to church or prayer meetings or praying, and we do it as a thing to do to get through it so we can move on to the next thing. And then we wonder why when we walk past God casually, we don't see great things from God. Because you'll never receive great things from someone who is so amazing. Psalmist says he shrouds himself in obscurity.
Yeah.
Why? Because he is so good, the casual onlooker does not have a right to see him.
Yes, indeed.
But those who hunger, and Jesus said, and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled.
Amen.
When you're hungry for something, you'll pursue it.
Yeah.
What's important to you, you'll pursue it. And when it's that important to you, guess what? James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Having known the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he has purposed in himself. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. And that we're skipping over verse 10 because of time, but verse 10 basically said how the plan of God is that he was to bring all things under the authority of Christ. The things in heaven and the things in the earth. AKA, at the end of the day, we win. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, that seems a lot of King James language, but I'm going to break this down. Notice this. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. He works all things after the counsel of his own will. A couple things I want to draw from there. Number one is, at the end of the day, the ultimate plan of God will be done.
Yes.
The ultimate overall plan of God will be done. At the end of the day, the devil's going to end up in hell, the lake of fire. At the end of the day, God's going to wrap this thing up.
Yes.
At the end of the day, the new Jerusalem's going to come from heaven onto earth. At the end of the day, God wins. So the ultimate overall plan of God will be done. The individual plan of God for each life is not based on God, it's based on you. So we look at it and say, at the end of the day, God wins. He does. The question is, do you win? God's going to win. Oh, of course I'm going to win. Well, then you need to make sure you're on God's bus. Because there's a lot of Christians that know about God, but don't know God. Stay with me. In fact, the New Testament, and search it out, the New Testament says even demons know him and tremble at his name.
Yes.
So knowing about God, showing up at church, I'm glad you came to church today, what a wonderful crowd on Memorial Day weekend. But just because you know about God doesn't mean you're serving him. And so there's an individual. Why would God do something where he wins on the large scale, but maybe not on the individual scale of individuals, on the smaller scale? And that's because God has given you and each every and every one of us this thing called a choice.
Right.
A will. You choose this day whom you're going to serve, the Bible tells us. So it's up to you how you pursue him. It's up to you what you receive from him.
Yeah.
David Oyedepo, out of Lagos, Nigeria, an amazing man of God, someone I listen to on a regular basis. I mean, in Lagos, Nigeria, with third world country, which means their income is like really typically low. God has used him without outside other country funding to build a ministry. His auditorium seats 53,000 people. And he does five services on Sunday. And there's almost as many people outside as there are inside. Why? Because he took the perspective that if God can work in America, if God can work in Great Britain, if God can work in these major countries, why can't he work in a third world country? We deal with that in the Philippines. We have a lot of Filipinos, a lot of Philippine Hope churches. And to get in the mindset, because if you're raised around an environment long enough, you begin to buy into the story, if you will. You buy into the storyline that because you live there, that you can never be anything more than those around you. Think about that. It's almost like they read the Bible like it's an American gospel. That God can heal you, that God can meet your need, that God can bless you. Oh yeah, that's over there where the opportunities are great. But to talk to them and begin to speak the word in their life, that wait a minute, that wherever the gospel, are you telling me that God's power is limited based on the ability of the surroundings? Many times the devil has sold us in our lives, and though you might not be Filipino, though you might not live in the Philippines, though you might be in a situation that it might seem in the natural easier to get ahead in our world, but I want you to know there's areas in all of our lives, if we're not careful, we allow the enemy to sell us a lie, a mindset, a perspective that in this area we can never go any farther because that's all we have ever seen in that our area of our lives. Maybe you don't know anybody who's done well in business. Maybe you've never seen anyone who have more than enough or out of debt. Maybe you've never seen anybody walk with health as they get older and not with the aches and pains of age, they call it. Maybe you've never seen anybody with a good, healthy marriage. Maybe you've never seen anybody who had peace and joy in their everyday life. Maybe you've never seen anybody walk and experience the presence of God in a real and tangible way. Maybe all you know is this little box, and you've been told because you've lived in that box, that's your world, and that's the way it will always be. But I'm here to tell you that God's power is greater than any perspective, any parameters, any boundaries, and the word of God still holds true for you in every area. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
God, notice this verse again, that God works after the counsel. He works all things after the counsel of his own word. He works, say he works. Why isn't God doing it for me, Pastor? He's doing it for those people. Why isn't he doing it for me? Because he works all things after the counsel. Notice, after the counsel of his own will. If I need the demonstration of God's power in my life, I need to figure out how he's operating. That's what we call a kingdom. The word kingdom is broken up in two words. It means, how does the king operate?
Yeah.
I like to call it the policies and procedures of a. If you go to one business and you're working for a company for years, you'll find out that they have their way of doing things. They have what might be called policies and procedures. They might be a small business and might not refer to it that way. But if you need something for your work, they might say, you buy it and bring in a receipt, and we'll give you money for it. Some businesses might say, no, you have to get it, fill out a form and get it approved. Some might say, no, you forget the form. You need to go online, log in, put the requisition in there. It goes through some committees, and then we'll let you know, and then you have it put on a purchasing card, whatever it might be. But if you walk out of one business, and that maybe the business was you just buy it out of your own pocket, bring in the receipt, and they'll reimburse you, and then you leave that company and go to the new company, and you walk in with a receipt one day, I needed this for my job, and here, I'd like to get a check. They might look at you and say, that's not how we do it. That's not our policies and procedures. That's not the way we operate. What do you mean that's not the way you operate? That's the way it's always been. No, that's the way it's always been over there. But you're no longer over there, you're over here. You mean I just can't take off and just text as I'm flying away, letting you know I'm going to take 2 weeks off? Just thought I'd let you know the plane is taxiing. No. You can't do that. Well, that's the way I always did it before. I just told my boss as I was flying away, oh, I got to remember to tell my boss I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks. And they're like, good for you. Stay as long as you want because you're not getting a job when you come back. Stay 2 months. We don't care. Well, that's not fair. Well, no, it's not a matter of being fair. It's a matter of following the policies and procedures.
Right.
Jesus said it this way, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Notice, in all these things, the things referred to before, everything that the world wants, and all these things will be added unto you. David Oyedepo, which I was leading to a minute ago, David Oyedepo is quoted saying, any faith that puts the total entirety of responsibility on God and God alone is an irresponsible faith.
Yep.
Why? Because he came to the revelation that I can be in a third world country and hear from God and obey the word of God and apply the kingdom principles of God, and I can bring to a desert what everybody else thinks is impossible. Because God can flourish in a desert. Can I get an amen?
Amen?
If you don't believe me, look at Israel. Israel has flourished in that small patch of land that nobody wanted it before, and yet they are one of the greatest exporters. God can flourish. God can take you where you're at. Well, if I just had a better company, they had better benefits. I knew somebody, they work for a big company, they get paid a lot more. Well, you need to go try to get a job there. But you were, I'm just here. If I lived in a different zip code, if I had a better education, you can't improve yourself. But with all that stuff said, why do you allow the devil to create reasons why you can't be what God says you can be? We have, and this is a human nature for all of us, there's areas in our lives, if we're not careful, we will accept the limitation created by life, created by people, created by the devil, created by somebody that tells us that we can come this far but no farther. That's as far as you can come. You can't be any happier. Can't be any healthier. Your marriage can't be any better. This is as far as you can come. What area of your life that you've learned to just adapt and accept is not the way you wanted it, but it's just what it is. And you don't expect to go any farther than you've already become. I'm telling you that at your greatest level, see, Proverbs says that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter until the completed day, which means that in Jesus, the best is always yet to come, which means that no matter where I'm at, if I'm in the pit, I can still come out of it.
Amen.
If I'm in the palace, I still can go beyond it.
Yes.
That wherever I'm at in my walk with the Lord, as I follow him, I'm not stopping by the limitation of what others say.
Right.
But I am stopped by the limitation of my perspective and understanding. Why? Because God, notice this, works all things after the counsel of his own will. Now, some will read this, and it's been read like this, and maybe you've come from this background, that anything that happens is the will of God. And they'll use the phrasing of God, oh, God is sovereign, he's all-powerful, and anything happen has to come from the hand of God. And what I encourage you to do is challenge everything with the word of God. Is God all-powerful? Yes. But he watches over his word to perform it. God will never override his own will, his own word. Are you listening to me? If it was true that everything that happens is from God's planning, then why do we have jails? Why don't you just tell that police officer that pulled you over for going 90 and 50, it must be the will of God that I went 90. So you don't want to fight the will of God and give me a ticket. And he'll say, it must be the will of God that I give you a ticket. Think about that. If everything that happens is God's will, Then why do we have laws? Why do we have jails? Why do we punish? Tell your teacher. It must have been the will of God that I missed those questions. So God still wants me to get an A. And they might look at you and say, it must be the will of God that you take this class again. See you next semester. Isn't it amazing how you could take a situation and manipulate it? Someone died, and you're grieving, and some dear brother or sister saint in the Lord. It's always the Christian saints. They love Jesus, but sometimes they just don't know any better, and wrap their arms around you and say, it's going to be okay. God must wanted those that family member to get to heaven. He was looking to see him sooner than later. God just, you know, there's a time for all of us to live and to die. Well, the Bible says that there's a time given unto man. Right. But he didn't say that it's just totally out of your control.
Right.
Now it's getting quiet. We act like nothing we do has an effect. Really? Then why did the Bible, in the commandments, it said to obey your mother and father, and it not only go well with you, it will add years to your life.
Amen.
Well, there is something you could do to change the length of your life. I mean, if I eat nothing but Snicker bars and Mountain Dew every day, 3 days, how many people know after a while,
right,
I've affected the length of my life? Can I get an amen?
Right.
So the devil sells us the idea that nothing we do can make an impact on the end result, because really God's all sovereign, all powerful, and he's everything that happens must be his control. So why worry about it? You say, Pastor, are you saying God's not all powerful? No, God is all powerful. But like we've taught around here many times, and I keep reiterating because we need to keep hearing it, God gave Adam the authority on this earth. It's like leasing a car. Have you ever leased a car before? Some of you don't know what a car is. Lease a bicycle. Lease a bus pass. I don't know, whatever works for you. But if you leased a car, you drive away with it, you make payments, and you tell people it's yours, but it's not really yours. It's owned by the leasing company. Now, the difference with a bank and a leasing company, not to go down to the finance world, is the bank, it's owned by the bank, but when you pay it off, you keep it. If you want it, you sell it, do whatever you want with it. It's yours. And every payment you make, you get a little more equity or based on the value and depreciation of that asset. But in leasing, every payment you make, it never becomes more and more of yours. And at the end of the payments, when you've made all the payments, you don't get to keep it. At the end of the payments, what do? You get a nice letter a few months before and say, we want our car back.
Right.
Which dealership would you like to take it? Why? Because they own it. They want it back.
Right.
Now, when you're driving your leased car down the road, no one gets in the and sits in the back seat and grabs the wheel and say, oh, I want to stay in the middle lane. Who are you? Oh, I'm with a leasing company. I'm just making sure you drive correctly.
Right.
They don't do that, do they? Wouldn't that be weird? See, some of you are waiting for Jesus to take the wheel. He don't want the wheel. He wants you to hold the wheel and follow him as he guides you through his word. So a leasing company is not going to interrupt you and say, oh, we noticed that the car was kind of dirty the other day. Can you? No. It's your responsibility. It's your car. But when the lease is up, they want it back. See, you have to understand that's how the way the system of the world is. And when you look at it that way, it will make a lot more sense, at least it does in my mind, why bad stuff happens. Bad stuff doesn't happen because God allowed it. Bad stuff happens because we allowed it.
Right.
Wow, it's getting quiet because nobody wants responsibility for the hungry and the hurting and the lost and the sinner. Nobody wants to be responsible that we didn't do anything when they took prayer out of school and now you take God out of school and you have... See, the opposite of light, the absence of light is darkness. The absence of God is evil. So you take God out of a situation, you have evil, and you can't figure out why people do evil things. I'll tell you why. You remove God out of the situation. Well, why didn't God stop it? God doesn't stop it. He leased the world to Adam. Adam brought it under the devil's power. Jesus restored the spiritual power. But at one day in the future, Matthew 24 tells us, and only the Father knows, the lease is up and God wants it back. Even demons understood that. The demons followed Jesus one day through a demon-possessed person, and we said, we know who you are. You're the Son of God. Have you come before the time to torment us? They know the time's running out. There's no question. They know that there's a time, there's a lease on this earth. And at that point, the Heavenly Father, the Creator, says, okay, I've given it to Adam for a period of time. Now I want it back. Yep. I'm going to renovate it. I'm going to make it all new. And my children, I've already taken out. I'm going to bring them back. And it's going to be a great place the way it needs to be. But during this time, we tend to blame God for everything.
Come on.
Sometimes we blame the devil. He wasn't even around. I think sometimes they're like, we're blaming the devil. And he's telling somebody, honestly, I wasn't there. I lie all the time. I know I'm a father of lies, but I was not there. They did that on their own. I didn't get their boss to fire them. They missed work for 4 days and cussed their boss out. I wasn't there. I didn't tell them to do it. So how do I figure this thing out? Notice this again. God works all things after the counsel, here's our key phrase, the counsel of his own will. If you want, God has opened the door through Jesus Christ for us to be able to access the will of the Father, and through prayer and obedience and his word, bring that kingdom into the kingdom of this earth and allow God to do something that only God can do in your marriage, in your health, in your finances, in your life, in your children, in your career, in everything that you allow him to have access to, and he can change any. There's nothing too hard for God. For the person who believes, all things are possible to him who
believes.
But if you don't believe, it's impossible.
Right.
There's a part that we have to play. What do I need to believe? Notice this verse again. Who works all things after or in alignment with the counsel of his own will. Let's break that down a little bit. What's counsel? Well, we get the word counsel, counselors. Could be legal counsel, could be marriage counselors, could be just generic. Counselors are not the ones just listening, but they're people who give advice.
Right.
Yeah. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 10 says that God declares the end from the beginning and from ancient times to the things that are not yet done, which means God sees equally well the end as he does from the beginning.
Yes.
We only see where we're at, and from that it's still in fragments. But God sees clearly the end from the beginning. And he goes on to say, saying, my counsel shall stand. God's advice, see, it's not God getting counsel, it's God giving counsel.
Right.
Do you see the difference? We think we can go to prayer and help God out and explain to him what he needs to do to solve our problems. Now, Lord, I know you're busy, so here's what I need. And God, here's the 5 steps that you need to do to fix this problem. You need to first talk to my boss. They got a bad attitude, not liking it. You need to talk to my children. They're not listening to me anymore. You need to, and you go through and tell God what he needs to do, like he needs your counsel. My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. God doesn't need our advice. He's giving counsel. He's giving advice. It's learning to have the perspective, the attitude, God, I'm in a situation, and I know that you see the end from the beginning. I know that you already know what's going on before I got here. That's what Jehovah Jireh actually means. It means more than the God who provides, which is one of the names of God in the Old Testament, is he wanted his people to know who he is. For the longest period of time, they reverenced the name of God so much that in their original writings, they would come to the name of God and they would leave it blank because they didn't want to put a name to God, because any name you put will always be insignificant to who he is. So if God is all-powerful, how do you put that? All-powerful? What does that mean? The very fact that you use the word to describe God who cannot be described because he's so greater than any description, because a word has a defined parameter. Think about that for a second. And they knew that anything that they would write would be insignificant, would never be enough to properly describe. So they would leave it blank. And God was wanting them to know him. That's the quality, that's part of the eternal life. It's just not that you live forever. We're all going to live forever. But the Gospel of John, Jesus said, and this is life eternal, that they might know you, Father.
Yeah.
and the one that you have sent. God wants his people to know relationship over religion, we call it. And so he began to give them names, and one of them is Jehovah Jireh. Most of us, if you're back in the 70s and 80s, you know, we used to sing Jehovah Jireh, my provider, and that's true, but actually what that means is more than he's your provider, it means the God who saw your need before you knew there was a need and backed up in time and through what he did on the cross of Calvary has made provision, which means when I hit a wall of impossibility, I need to look to God, not why is there a wall, I'm looking to what do you want me to do? I need advice. I need counsel on this because before I got there, you were already there. You see the end as you do the beginning, and you know what I need to do to come out ahead and win in this situation. What do I need to say? Who do I need to talk to? Give me some advice here. Well, I know what to do. Well, Proverbs 12, verse 15 says that the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but God... But he who listens to counsel is wise. Another proverb says that every man's ways are right. Did you know that? Most people realize or in their mind think what they're doing is right. Every man's ways are right in their own eyes, but God judges it. He looks to the heart. So it's not a matter of, oh, I know what I need to do. It's learning to find out from the counsel of God because his counsel stands. Well, Pastor, why did this happen? Let's find the counsel of God. Because when you have the advice from heaven, it's not looking for voices, it's looking for revelation. Amen. Jeremiah 23, verse 18. Are you with me today? Say amen. Amen. For who has stood in the counsel of the Lord and has perceived and heard his word? Who has marked his word and heard it? In the context, Jeremiah is actually dealing with a different situation. Jeremiah is dealing with prophets that are not hearing from God and prophesying as if they had. And he said, God is saying, my prophets, they haven't been with me, and yet they are prophesying. And what's interesting, and this is a side subject altogether, and I encourage you to study it out, that they were having prophets that was telling the people, it doesn't matter if you sin and do what you want, God will still bless you and God will still give you peace, even in the midst of your sin. And God is saying, where have they been? They have not stood in my counsel. Why are they saying that they're quoting me? Well, they haven't even been there. But that, bringing that context to today's thought, for who has stood in the counsel of the Lord? How do I stand? How do I get in the counsel of God? Notice, it's the ones who have perceived and heard his word. See, sometimes it's so simple and we miss it. Romans 10, 17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. What am I doing when I read the Bible and speak the word of God and do my confessions? I'm not only allowing my ears to hear it so I can get faith, but I'm allowing my heart to be open, Matthew 13, to get understanding. I need understanding. I need counsel. Amen. Show me what to do in this situation, God. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Says all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. I think that kind of covers the whole gamut because there are some times that we need to be dealt with. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Interesting thing about that phrase, given by inspiration of God. Those five words are actually translated from one Greek word. And I'm not going to try to say it to you. You'll look it up yourself. Even if I said it wrong, you wouldn't even know, because come on, let's get real. I should just act like I knew what I was going to say, but I'm not going to say it. Let me give you the definition, which is more important. Are you ready? Those five words, given by inspiration of God in the Greek, are translated by this one word as God breathed. God breathed. The word of God is God breathed. Jesus said it this way, my words, they are spirit and they are life. What's that got to do with God breathed? Because in the Hebrew, in the Old Testament, the word Holy Spirit literally was translated the breath of God. The breath of God. So when God would speak what was on his heart, he would release the word. But if you have no breath, there's no word that can be released. If you hold your breath, you can't talk. You need the breath. We talked about this a few weeks ago, real quickly. You need breath before the words can be heard. Though you might have the answer in your heart, you can't release it without the breath. And you can have the answer in your heart and the breath, but if you don't release the word tied to it, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Jesus is the word, John 1 and verse 14. When Jesus was being tempted, remember in the wilderness, when he was being tempted, the enemy kept on saying, if you're the Son of God, do this. If you're Son of God, what about this? And Jesus would always respond, it is written. But notice, it was written, but it became alive when he spoke it by the Spirit. Do you see that? Because he just received the Holy Spirit upon him. He went into the wilderness, fasted for 40 days, and during that, the enemy began to tempt him, and when he responded, he didn't respond with just read this here. He responded by what was written and given it breath. Think of that later. It's not just having an idea. It's allowing the word to be given to you with understanding revelation by the Spirit of God, so that when you speak, you're speaking under the authority of God, and you have the wisdom of God, because Jesus has been made wisdom unto you, the Bible says. And it's, we're looking for, God, why aren't you doing this? I don't need a complicated answer. I don't need a 3-day answer. I need a 10-second answer for a 10-minute problem fix. Lord, do it now. And we struggle because we treat the word of God as something that should accommodate our time, our schedule, and our attention span. And as long as you only get enough of the word that matches your attention span, you will never get enough of the word to fight the enemy, because you're more distracted by the stuff around you and the casual pursuit accomplishes nothing. Well, Pastor, can't you just put it in a nutshell, 14 words or less, like a tweet, you know what I mean, and make it where I can, yeah, and you'll find that it lacks power, because your patient endurance is only for 5 minutes, and the enemy tells you it's okay, and yet he'll get you in a pit for years, and you can't figure out, why am I not getting out of the pit? Oh, I prayed. You prayed when you were about to eat a meal, and praise God you do that. But if that's all your prayer, you don't be surprised when you lack power. Getting quiet. I got to move on. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received of him abides in you. Notice this. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, you shall abide in him. Notice what it's saying here, the anointing, which is referring to the presence of God, the Holy Spirit. The anointing, you have the anointing within you, and you need not any man teach you. It doesn't mean you don't need a teacher, you shouldn't go to school. It doesn't mean you don't need a minister to preach and teach the word of God. What it means is you can hear what we're saying, but you'll not understand what's being meant in the saying. You'll not have an understanding without the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing of God, the Spirit of God, who takes this information and makes it revelation. Eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither has entered the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But he has revealed them to us by his Spirit. Right. It goes on to say that we have not received the spirit of this world, but the Spirit of God, so that we can freely know what God has given to us. Amen. Well, I didn't know God could do that. You can know. I didn't know God would do it that way. You can know why. Because he works everything, all things, from the counsel, the advice of his will, which is his word. Amen. What is God saying in this? He works all things after the counsel of his own will. Yeah. Well, I'm only 15 years old. Can I understand that? Yes, God can reveal it to you in a way you understand it. I'm 105. Is it too late for me? Not at all. God can still reveal it to you and use you. If you're alive, you still have purpose.
Yes.
Don't let the world tell you if you're retired or you're older that you have no function or no purpose and you're just trying to live the rest of your days out and try to make it. No, you have a purpose. You have a power. You have a function. You have an ability. And you got to let the Word of God do what only the Word of God can do. So when the devil tells you, you can't go any farther, you can smile at him and say, I can't go any farther because you know, there's a door, it's locked. Yeah, but I got something now I just figured out. I have a key, and that key will unlock. It's a master key from the master, and it will unlock every lock that you try to set up against me because no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Which means succeed. And every word that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is your right, your heritage. Your righteousness is of him.
Amen.
You say, oh, you'll never have more than enough. That's what you say. You'll never own a business. That's what you say. You'll never get out of it. That's what you'll never walk in. That's what you say. But all I need to do is find his counsel.
Amen.
Because he works all things, not on who's the president and who's not the president. Come on, church. I'm into politics, and I encourage you to study, research, and pray, but never think that one president over another is the solution to your life.
Right.
I'm into education, but if you're missing some education, never let the devil tell you you're disqualified.
Right.
Do you see my point? The devil will always tell you why you're not good enough. God will always tell you that in him you can do all things. If you let him do it, if you let him do it. For we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the glory may be of God and not us. If you believe that, give the Lord a hand clap of praise for 30 seconds. Come on, give him praise. The devil can't hold you back. Would you bow your head and close your eyes? If you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ. No one moving around, no one looking. This is a very important moment. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're sitting here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking about a membership in a church or knowing about God. I'm asking, is Jesus Christ real to you in a way that you know without any question, shadow, or doubt that he's real and that he's your Lord and Savior? Only you can answer that. If you don't, you can. I'm going to pray a prayer. Romans tells us that with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Romans 10 says, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is the time. This is the moment. This is your opportunity. You are so amazing in the eyes of God that you do not have to stay one more minute under the oppression of sin and bondage. Under the weight of sin, under the fear and the worry that sin creates. You don't have to live with the scars of what the devil's done and tell you that you're worthless. You can feel the freedom of God, the peace of God, to let you know that he loves you. With every heart, let it just come from your heart as you pray. Say this prayer with me if you don't know him. Say, Heavenly Father, I turn to you today. I repent of all my sins. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart, be my Lord and Savior, wash me in your blood, forgive me and cleanse me. See, Jesus, I open up the door of my heart and life, and I invite you in. Be real to me today in a way that I know that you're real and you're my Lord and Savior. I receive you today. And everybody said, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I want to speak. we don't do this every week. We do it from time to time, but I feel this on my heart today. I want to speak a prayer over those who just prayed that prayer, if you want. The Bible tells us that he can strengthen you with might by his spirit in your inner man, which means that God can supernaturally give you a strength on the inside of you so that the things that would torment you no longer torment you. The things that would tempt you or weaken you or cause you to fall off. Some people talk falling off the wagon. God doesn't want you to fall off the wagon. He wants you to destroy and fly above the wagon. You shouldn't be living on the edge of the wagon anyway. But God wants you in a position that you're like, oh, I'm good as long as someone doesn't ask me. I'm good as long as I'm not tempted. No, God wants you to be able to stand your ground, having done all, stand, amen? And that just doesn't come from willpower, that comes from his power. And so I just want to pray a simple prayer over your life. If you prayed that prayer and you've given your heart to the Lord, and you want me to include you in that prayer. Now, some of you are bold, you'll stand up quick. Some of you are shy, and I understand that. But think of this, if you have struggle standing up in front of people in a church that's going to clap for you, how do you think you're going to stand up for Jesus in a world who's trying to mock you? We want you to not be mocked, but regardless of the cost, to be able to stand strong and say, I'm going to keep Jesus number one in my life. Amen. Amen. That's what he wants and has for you. So if you would, if you prayed that prayer and meant business with God, and you say, Pastor, that was me, and I want that strength in my life, at the count of three, I want you to stand to your feet. And those of you who are sitting, if that's not you, I don't want your eyes closed, head or bowed. I want you to look around. I want you to clap for and celebrate every person standing. Can we do that together? Heaven's celebrating. We're going to celebrate. One, two, three. Stand to your feet right now in Jesus' name. Come on, give him a hand clap. Come on, give him a hand clap. Hallelujah. Come on, church. Heaven is celebrating. Heaven is. Stay standing if you would. Stay standing in the back. Those in the back, stay standing. Now reach your hands toward heaven. Let me pray for you. In the church, you can just quietly pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, according to the truth of your word, I send your word forth that says that you will strengthen them with might by your spirit on the inner man. So, Father, I ask for a fresh anointing right now of the Holy Spirit to come upon them right where they're at. Let them be filled with your presence. Let them be strengthened in their inner man by your Holy Spirit. And the days ahead, let them experience and know your strength against any and all opposition of the enemy. In Jesus' name, and whatever the enemy has set up against them, I curse and break his strategy. I clean the slate against them that has been set up by the enemy. Every plan, every system, every bad relationship, we break its hold off their life, off their thinking, and we set them free into your peace and your joy and your victory in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody shouted, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Come on, give them a big hand clap of praise one more time.